राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी 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 जय गोविंद वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोविंद जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदा ब्रज जन रंजना
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Radha Gopala Nanda Radha Gopala Nanda Radhe Jaya Radha Gopala Nanda Radha Gopala Nanda Radhe Jaya Radha Gopala Nanda Radha Gopala Nanda Radhe Ram Lakshman Hanuman Jaya Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Jaya Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Jaya Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Jaya Gaura
కృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి వృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమో శంపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి ప్రజారిణీంద్ర విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవదే వాస వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ్య గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాల్. శ్రీమల్ భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవా. భవే భవే యదా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాగస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వ పాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరదశ్చాతేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయా ఆది కవయే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయా. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మల్సరాణాం సతాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమల్ భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాపరై ఈశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణాల్. నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుగం పిబద భాగవదం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేదవే తామత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహావం పుత్రేది తన్మయదయ తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేగం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణు కొణిదాదృదాననేందోః మమ వాజి విజంభదా మురారే మధురిన్న కణికాభి కాభి కాభి. నమః ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశతారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదీభువనత్రయం శ్రీగోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురదో మమ. മോഹം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദം. സോ വി വർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ലാസ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ ഫ്രോം ദി നൈൻത് കാൻറ്റോ ഓഫ് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം വെയർ the story refers to the descendants of the solar dynasty or the Surya Vamsham. So in the great great personalities who appeared in the solar dynasty, starting with Ikshvaku and so many others, and eventually we saw that in the second and third chapter Sri Shuka Maharshi or Sukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj that in this solar dynasty, Ikshvaku had these 10 sons from Shradhadeva had 10 sons, with the eldest being Ikshvaku. And later on, we've seen that how every one of them had different tendencies in them. Like some of them became Vaishyas, some of them became Brahmanas, and some of them acted as Kshatriyas. So from the same king and from the same family, you see that different varnas have come up. In other words, the propensities in them were such that some of them were more interested in business and agriculture, and they turned out to be Vaishyas, and some of them became Kshatriyas, and some of them elevated themselves to the Brahminical position and they became Brahmanas. So it is an indication in the Srimad Bhagavatam what Sri Narada Muni told Yudhishthira Maharaj earlier in the seventh canto. Yasyayal lakshanam proktam pumso varnad vivyanjakam. That wherever one finds the qualities of these different varnas, one should accept them as they belong to that varna. So that is how, or this system of varnashrama dharmam has been in practice for so long, that even in those days, in the beginning of the Surya Vamsham itself, they had followed this system seriously, which shows the importance of Varnashrama Dharmam. In other words, without following Varnashrama Dharmam, it is difficult for a society to develop a certain standard of life in spiritually. Otherwise, it will become a complete chaos, just like we see today. As much as you give up the Varnashrama Dharma, the result of that will be that everyone will fall down into the lowest category, and with the result that there will be no proper spiritual leadership in the society. So in order to make this understand, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, wherever Vedavyasa Maharshi got an opportunity, he has brought these points out very strongly to understand that Varnashrama Dharma is essential, and Brahmanas are essential, Kshatriyas are essential, Vaishyas are also essential, as well as Shudras. So this Varnashrama Dharma existed. And now, after the third chapter, we move on to the fourth chapter, where we discussed about the story of Nabhaga. Nabhaga's son was Nabhaga, one who did not get any share in his father's wealth. So he was called as Nabhaga. In other words, he had no share. Bhaga means share, and Nabhaga means he had no share in the wealth of the father. So the brothers told him when he came back, as we mentioned last time, that when Nabhaga came back after his Brahmachari education, Gurukulam, that he was told by the other brothers that we have given your father as your share. So Nabhaga followed his instructions, and eventually we saw that how the life happened for Nabhaga, that Nabhaga became successful because of his spiritual knowledge, that Lord Shiva blessed him with what he required, and with that understanding Nabhaga became successful in his spiritual life. Now we are going to go on to the fourth and fifth chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the ninth canto. And these two chapters are extremely important in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why is it so important? Because Nabhaga had a son by name Ambarish. Ambarish Maharaj. He is referred to as Ambarish Maharaj. And this Ambarish Maharaj is considered in the Srimad Bhagavatam as the classic example of how a devotee should be. A devotee's relationship with Krishna. So, and that is what is explained in that, in these two chapters, in the fourth and the fifth chapter. And there is a lot of things one could learn from these two chapters, seeing Ambarish Maharaj's realizations and Ambarish Maharaj's relationship with Krishna. How Ambarish Maharaj got into that stage, that is also explained in the other Puranas, although Srimad Bhagavatam does not specifically discuss that. But in Padma Puranam and in the other Puranam also, wherever discussions between Ambarish Maharaj and with another great sage or Harita, in those discussions, these things come out, how Ambarish became this type of devotee. A very, very unusual devotee. Very unusual. Why? Because at a very early age in life, Ambarish became such a pure devotee, in the sense that normally in life, nobody is born like that. Ordinary people are not born as pure devotees. Everybody practices spiritual life, executes spiritual life for lifelong. And for 50 years, 60 years or 70 years, when one executes spiritual life, one becomes advanced in a spiritual path and then he became close to perfection. This is how normal progress is. But this Ambarish Maharaj, at a very early age in life, he developed a devotion to Krishna. And his devotion was such that an emperor like Ambarish Maharaj, who was managing such a powerful empire at that time, that he happened to become a very powerful emperor, this Ambarish Maharaj thought himself, what is the use of all this? This thought came up to him very strongly. For us, such thoughts don't come easily. For us, even a little small empire, so-called our family life, will keep us busy for whole life long to hammer. But still, after the end of that, the thoughts are not coming. Still, that is our position. Ambarish Maharaj's position was such that at the very early age in life, he has developed Krishna consciousness to such a degree that he started thinking, all this is useless. What is the point in me carrying on this administration, this, and this is becoming a problem for my spiritual life. These thoughts came to Ambarish's mind. And that is the speciality of this great personality, Ambarish. That very, very early in his life, he became an emperor. And at the same time, he got this thought in his mind strongly, disturbing him all the time, that how can I manage this empire and how can I manage my spiritual life? These two things started causing problems in his mind. This is not very difficult to understand. It's very easy to understand. You can ask any householder, he will tell you. Why forget about empire? Just if you want to manage your home life or house life, and if you want to adjust your spiritual life along with that, these two things won't work very well. They don't go together very well. If you try to do both, either the family life won't work, or your spiritual life won't work, or both won't work. This is what how things are. This is our position. So because of this, that Ambarish Maharaj thought himself that this thought became disturbed him so much in his mind that he started complaining to Krishna. He started thinking about Krishna and constantly saying to Krishna, what should I do? What should I do in this situation? This thought was disturbing him so much. Such thoughts don't disturb us so much. For us, minimum an hour or two is enough, more than enough in life. That's all we have capacity to do, and that's all we want to do. But Ambarish Maharaj's case was different. In spite of being an emperor, in his mind, this was disturbing him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, while mentioning about this, Sri Shukana has spoken to Parikshit Maharaj, 3-4 important verses to show the mind of Ambarish, how Ambarish was like. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayor Vacham Sivaikuntha Gunanu Varnane. That Ambarish Maharaj's mind was such. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayor Vacham Sivaikuntha Gunanu Varnane. That manas or the mind of Ambarish was always focused on Krishna's lotus feet. It could never be taken out from there. The attachment to Krishna was so strong that he could never forget Krishna for a second. That was his position. Savai mana Krishna pada aravindayor. On Krishna's lotus feet, it was so focused. Vachamsi vaikuntha gunanu varnane. that everything, whenever he spoke, when he was talking to the ministers, or when he was speaking to the others, all the time he wanted to talk about Krishna. This is how he was. This was the personality Ambarish Maharaj was. Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varnane Karo Hare Mandira Marjana Dishu. That all the he wanted to use his hands all the time in cleaning the temple, in cleaning Krishna's temple. Now you can imagine in them days when the kings were ruling, when the king start doing something, others will not sit quiet. They will also follow. They will also start doing the same thing. So Ambarish Maharaj, by his example, acted in that way. Karau harer mandiram arjanadishum. That he started cleaning up the temples. With the result was that the temple was always spotlessly clean. So many people come to the temple. They use the temple. Naturally, it will get dirty. And Krishna's temple should not be dirty. It should be kept clean all the time. So it's a duty of the devotees. And by cleaning that temple, one acquires the cleanliness of his heart. Knowing very well that Ambarish Maharaj acted in that way. Karau harer mandiram arjanadishu shrudim chaka chudasal kathodaye. That whenever Ambarish Maharaj wanted to hear something, he always encouraged the devotees to speak about Krishna. And this is what Ambarish Maharaj relished more than anything else. This is the difference, that Ambarish Maharaj's mind was so much absorbed in Krishna. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayur Vajamsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varnane Karau Harer Mandiramar Janadishu Shudim Chakara Achyutasal Kathodayem. Then Achyutasal Kada, that means hearing about Krishna, was what is that was giving him so much happiness in life. And this way Ambarish continued his life. Mukunda Lingalaya Darshane Drisham. That whenever he wanted to see something, he wanted to see the form of Krishna. That is how much his mind was attached to Krishna. That Ambarish Maharaj took extreme happiness and pleasure in seeing Krishna in the temple, in the deity form. And naturally, because of his attachment for the deity, attachment of Krishna's form, the deity worship in the temple was of the topmost standard. In other words, everyone had to follow, because Ambarish Maharaj had that amount of power in his hand that Ambarish Maharaj wouldn't tolerate any lapse on anyone's part, no matter who it is, that he specified that people act properly so that the deity worship in the temple is maintained without any fault or without any problems. So, Mukunda Lingalaya Darshane Drisham Tad Pratyagatram Sparshenga Sangamam. And what did Ambarish Maharaj find happiness? Whenever great devotees, they came to the temple, and whenever they spoke about Krishna, Ambarish Maharaj went and embraced them. By embracing them, he expected that he will get the same degree of Krishna consciousness from those personalities. Mukunda Lingalaya Darshane Drisham Tad Pratyagatram Sparshenga Sangamam Granam ja talpada saroja sauramam shrimal tulasyam rasanam tadarpide. That Ambarish Maharaj's senses were such that all his senses were so purified that all he wanted to smell was the tulsi flowers offered to Krishna. Whenever tulsi garland taken out of Krishna's body was taken out, Ambarish Maharaj wanted to smell that tulsi garland. Shrimat tulasyam rasanam tadarpide. That rasana or the taste was such that Ambarish Maharaj wanted always to eat whatever prasadam was given from Krishna. So Krishna prasadam was his main consumption. He took great pleasure in eating Krishna's prasadam. He took great pleasure in smelling the flowers which has come from Krishna's body. Like this, all the senses, we have 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action. These 10 senses were completely purified to such a degree that Ambarish Maharaj couldn't do anything else except completely immersed in Krishna in all aspects, all the senses. Mukunda Lingalaya Darshane Drisham Talbrityagatram Sparshenga Sangamam Ghanam Ja Talpada Saroja Saurabham. That even the lotus flowers offered to Krishna's lotus feet, Ambarish Maharaj took them and smelled it. Shrimal Tulasyam Rasanam Tadarpide. Padau Harakshetra Padabhi Vandani. Ambarish Maharaj used to think, why Krishna has given me these legs? Lexus given to me so that I can walk to the temple. This was just from the palace to the temple he walked. That is, he always traveled. He didn't travel like in the modern days. We want to get the drop right up to the deity room. If we can bring the car, we like to do that. This is us. And that is Amrish Maharaj. That was the days like that. Padau hara kshetra padabhi vandani. Shirao hrade kshetra padanu sarpani. That what is the head meant for? Head is meant for only one thing. What is that? Just to pay your obeisances to Krishna. So that you touch your head on the Shiromi malpadayo kritva bahubhyanja parasparam prabannam pahimam isha vidam mrityugrahar naval. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Ekadasha Skandam, while talking to Uddhava, Krishna says that if one has one head, what is that meant for? It is not meant for showing his brain to others, that I got so much head. That's not, Krishna says. Krishna says that head is meant for apyuttamangam patakiri edajushtam apyuttamangam naname mukundam. If that head is not offered to Krishna for paying obeisances to Krishna, that head is considered to be just another weight hanging on there. This is the instruction in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bharaparam patakiri idajushtam apyuttamangam naname mukundam. Shishuvan says in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning that head is meant for this purpose. Bharaparam patakiri idajushtam. Even if you have got big crown on that head, if it is not offered to Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet to pay the obeisances, if it's not done like that, then it is considered to be bharaparam. It is just another weight on your body. Apyuttamangam naname mukundam. If it is not for paying obeisances to Mukunda or Krishna, then that head is also a burden on the body. This is how it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So, padau hara kshetra padanu vandani, shiro hrishikesha padabhi vandani. Padau hara kshetra padanu sarpani, shiro hrishikesha padabhi vandani. Kamamcha dasyana dukama kamyaya. After doing everything, you can imagine now, all his senses, all his body, all his mind in Krishna's control now. Everything offered to Krishna. Not only that, what else he did do? Kamam chandasyam nadu kama kamyayam. That whatever desires he had come up in his mind, any kind of desire, he made it in favor of Krishna. That means in his desire, only thing, desire what was he allowed to build up in his mind. We all have different kind of desires. Our desires, if we start listing that, probably we will require a few hundred gigabytes of desires we can list it. But Ambarish Maharaj's situation was that he was able to dovetail every desire in relationship with Krishna. That was his success. So, that such a powerful personality, this Ambarish Maharaj. Kamyam jadasya nadu kama kamyaya yad uttama shloka janashrayaratim. That he prayed to Krishna that under all circumstances uttama shloka janashrayaratim. Let me enjoy in the association of devotees. So what can go wrong in that life? This is what has happened to Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj had no desire. And you can imagine, if such a situation happens in life, what will happen to the empire? Where can the empire go? Who will manage the empire? So Ambarish Maharaj realized these two things don't go together. So he became so conscious of this problem that in his mind all the time he was thinking to asking Krishna, what can be done? What can be done about this? It is not possible anymore for me to continue with this management of this empire. This is all, as far as I am concerned, one day I have to leave my body, the empire is finished, Ambarish will go. So Ambarish was aware. So this is where the problem is, that majority of our people, majority of our life, our mind is very much attached to the life in this world, and we are constantly thinking that if I don't do this, if I don't do that, my life will be in trouble. So on the other hand, we haven't got that intense desire like Ambarish Maharaj in our mind. So we start making adjustments. And we start making adjustments, then we are realizing that no adjustments is working at the same time. Adjustments won't work also because these two things don't go very well together. Anyway, Ambarish Maharaj decided to complain that, but mentioned that to Krishna. So when he mentioned that to Krishna, that one day Krishna also felt that this devotee is not an ordinary devotee. He has such a desire to come to me that I should help him. He decided that. So the result was that he asked his Sudarshanam, the Sudarshana disc or the Sudarshana chakra. It's a person. Sudarshana chakra is a person. And he told him, Krishna told him, just go and see that king and ask him that what assistance he wants in his administration, in his management or managing the empire. So Amrish Maharaj was thinking, if there was somebody to manage my empire in my when I have enough time for Krishna conscious activities, how nice it would be. So Krishna decided at the same time that this devotee wants somebody to assist him. Let me send my assistance. So that is how one day Sudarshanam came there. Sudarshanam came to see Ambarish Maharaj. When he came to see him, as usual when you go to see the king, you need to be a little bit prepared that you don't talk anything in a careless manner. And Sudarshanam's conversation with Ambarish Maharaj is very interesting. Ambarish Maharaj saw Sudarshanam. So when he saw Sudarshanam first time, Ambarish Maharaj realized that looking at the person, he seems to be a very capable person. The kings and the kshatriyas, they know by seeing people, they can make certain judgment on this. And at the same time, Ambarish Maharaj, because was inquisitive to know about him, but Sudarshanam, without revealing himself who he is, told Ambarish that I came to know that you need some help in your administration. I thought that if I can be of help to you, I would like to serve you. Ambarish Maharaj first thought for a while and then later on said to Sudarshanam that without thinking anymore, he said to Sudarshanam that I have a difficulty, that I have a problem with my managing the empire and my spiritual life. If you can do something about it. Sudarshanam told Ambarish that leave that all to me. I will take care of the empire. You can carry on the way you want to do things. And accordingly, I will give you all the assistance, whatever you require in your day-to-day life. Ambarish was very, very pleased. And seeing Sudarshanam, Ambarish Maharaj immediately understood that this person is a capable person. That is how the impression he got by seeing Sudarshanam. So Sudarshanam took over the administration. And Ambarish Maharaj got more time now. So like this many years went on. It was then that one day that Sudarshanam thought himself that this devotee, Krishna had sent me here with a specific request to offer him all assistance what he wants. So let me ask him what assistance he wants. So it was then that Sudarshanam asked one day to Ambarish Maharaj that, do you have any specific desires in your mind which you would like to fulfill? Because as your prime minister, more or less like your prime minister now, I've got all the facilities and I would like to offer you any help you need if you have any specific desire to execute in this life. So Ambarish Maharaj took that as a good sign and he had a great, great desire in his mind to perform what is known as Dwadashi Aradhana. Dwadashi Aradhana means actually this is one of the way people followed Ekadashi those days. Just like you see that on the Dashami day, that is the 10th day, only one time they took prasadam. They took prasadam only once during that day, on the Dashami day, on the middle of the day. And the whole Ekadashi day they fasted. And without even taking a drop of water. And during the whole night of Ekadashi, they never slept. They engaged in kirtanam or chanting the holy name. And the day after Ekadashi is Dwadashi, or the 12th day. On the 12th day, on Dwadashi day, they'll perform what is known as parana. Parana means that before you take your prasadam, you have to make the offerings to Krishna. And they feed all the brahmanas and the devotees. And after feeding them, after offering them everything in charity, after that you are allowed to take your prasadam. Which means that in them days it was not done in a simple way. It was all done in a very, very elaborate manner. In other words, it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam also that when Ambarish Maharaj had performed this particular Dwadashi Aradhana, as it's called, that nearly 600 million cows were offered in charity to the Brahmanas. Brahmanas have to be fed fully to their total satisfaction. They have to be offered clothes, they have to be offered gold and cows in charity. And because when a king is performing a Dwadashi Aradhana like that, it is expected from him to offer all these in abundance. And it lasts 12 months. So you can imagine in 12 months, so many Ekadashis he has to do this for one whole month. And when it comes to the anniversary of this Dwadashi Aradhana, this was the last one. Up to that time, everything went very, very well. This whole thing was performed in what is today known as Madhuvanam. Madhuvanam is like Vrindavanam, another place near Vrindavanam, where like Vrindavanam, Bhandiravanam, Kumudavanam, there's so many forests there. Or the major forest, Madhuvanam is one of the major forests there. And this Madhuvanam is also another significant place in the sense that Dhruva Maharaj performed his austerities permanently there for a long, long time. So Madhuvanam has become, by various reasons, Krishna is present in Madhuvanam all the time for devotees to serve him. So Yatra Sannihido Hari, Srimad Bhagavatam says that this place is, Krishna is always present. That is why in the fourth canto you saw that how Dhruva Maharaj performed his austerities and penances in Madhuvanam. Similarly, Ambarish Maharaj performed his Dwadashi Aradhana lasting for 12 months in this Madhuvanam. So, when the 12 months Dwadashi Aradhana was over, at the last day, when everything was completed, Ambarish Maharaj was feeling some satisfaction in his mind for got to this stage. So he decided that he wanted to offer everything in charity to the Brahmanas. So everything was done to please the Brahmanas. Gold, cows and clothes and everything what the Brahmanas were, the great, great qualified Brahmanas were present there, and they were all offered everything in charity. After everything was done, the next thing he had to do was to wash the feet of the great sages. And the great sages like Vasishtha Muni, Gautama, Asita, all these great personalities were there in Ambarish Maharaj's in this Dwadashi festival. So he had to wash their feet. After that, he has to bathe Salagram Shila, which he was worshipping there. So Salagram Shila has to be bathed. So after all this is done, then he can take his prasadam. So this will take something like 8 to 10 hours. So by the time he takes his prasadam, it could be somewhere around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One may wonder that how people lived like that. But that was the life which they led in those days. So you can see from this that the age of Kaliyugam and age of Satyugam, two different lives. Satyugam means activities related to spiritual life. Kaliyugam means activities related to material body. This is the priorities in these two different ages. Anyway, when this was happening, it was suddenly by then, Bhagavatam says, Durvasa Bhagavan Abhul. Sri Shukan uses the word Bhagavan to Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni arrived there on the scene. Durvasa Bhagavan Abhul. Bhagavan Durvasa Muni has come there. He says there. Sri Shukan says to Parikshit, Bhagavan Durvasa Muni has come to that place. Now, when Durvasa Muni comes to the stage, to the scene, it's not like anybody else coming there. Durvasa Muni has this great difficulty that cannot control his temper. So, out of anger, what he would do next moment, you do not know. And that is the difficulty with Durvasa Muni. So Ambarish Maharaj was very much aware of that. So out of the fear of Durvasa Muni's anger, and out of the fear that Durvasa Muni may say something, Maharaj Ambarish immediately paid his obeisances to this great sage, Durvasa Muni. He paid his obeisances, and Durvasa Muni immediately smiled at Ambarish and told him what's happening now. So Ambarish had to reveal his mind and to tell Durvasa Muni, the situation is like this. By Krishna's grace, everything has went on so well till now. We are now preparing to perform this ceremony known as Parana after the Dwadashi Aradhana. Durvasa Muni said to Ambarish, I've just come. I have to go and bathe myself and wait till I come back. He told Ambarish Maharaj, you can have your Parana afterwards, but I'm just going now, bathe myself, and then I'll come back straight away. And after I come back, you can wash my feet, and after that, you can have your Parana. Parana means that taking the remnants of the sages' feet that has been washed, and also the Salagramam Tirtham, or the water that's been used to wash Salagram Shila, and then the feast. So, saying this, Durvasa Muni went away, straight away to bathe in Kalindi River. That is where he went to. Kalindi River is Yamuna River close to Madhuvanam. So he went there to bathe. When he went to bathe there, what happened was that as soon as this Durvasa Muni has one habit, that when he goes into his transcendental mood, into Samadhi, you never know when he will come back from that. And this is one. Secondly, when he goes into bathe in the river, he falls into Samadhi when he is underneath the water. So he goes underneath the water and falls into Samadhi there. And you don't even know where he is in the water. Kalindi River is flowing full and Durvasa Muni is lying somewhere inside the water. Nima majja brahadhyayan Kalindi salile shubhe. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, while mentioning this, Sri Shukan has used certain words. Nima majja, that means he has gone underneath the water. Nima majja brahadhyayan, that he was performing dhyanam. Dhyanam means meditation. Or in the Samadhi position he was. What kind of dhyanam? He has two things in that word. He has kept it. Nima majja brahadhyayan. Brahadhyanam means meditation on the Brahman, on the impersonal Brahman. Durvasa Muni is an impersonalist sage. So naturally, he performs his meditation on the impersonal absolute. That is what he was doing underneath the water. That's also another thing. Brahadhyayan means it was such an extensive meditation that it did not finish in half an hour or hour. When he fell into that Samadhi, he has forgotten everything. What he has promised to Ambarish, that he will come back in a half an hour, 1 hour, whatever time he has told. And he fell into this Kalindi Salile Shubhem. That Bhagavatam says there, Nima Majja Brihadhyayan Kalindi Salile Shubhem. That in the water underneath that, this break meditation is going on of Durvasa Muni. Our Ambarish Maharaj waited for so long. And he was wondering, the time was running out. Because before Dwadashi runs out, this Parana has to be completed. Just like Ekadashi, Dwadashi, different tithis, one after the other. Ekadashi day after fasting, and it is on the Dwadashi day that you perform this Parana. Now, if you do not perform the Parana during the Dwadashi hours before it runs out, then the whole thing has not been executed properly as per the injunctions. So our Ambarish Maharaj was getting very, very upset and disturbed about it. So he thought to himself, what should I do now? Durvasa Muni hasn't come back. And they sent somebody to search for him. When they went there, they couldn't see him anywhere. Where can you find? He's lying underneath the water. So they couldn't see him. So they came back and told Ambarish Maharaj that we can't find him anywhere. So Ambarish Maharaj ultimately decided one thing. Let us consult Vasishta, Gautama and Asita, the three other sages who are present there. All these sages are great personalities who have a lot of tapas or tapashakti in them. And Vasishta Muni and Gautama Muni and Asita Maharshi, they all discussed each other. And they came to the conclusion that Ambarish Maharaj should not eat anything. But for sake of Parana, they can just mix the water of bathing the Salagram Shila and also bathing the feet of the sages. They mix all this water together and they can drink a few drops of that. He can drink a few drops of that and that will be considered as performing this known as Parana. Parana, it will be considered as Parana, as closing down the Dwadashi Aradhana, or worship of the Dwadashi day. So this was the conclusion. So after discussion with all the Brahmanas, after discussion with the great sages, only then Ambarish Maharaj took this decision to take this Tirthajalam, or whatever the mixture of the water that's used for bathing the feet of the sages and the Brahmanas, and also bathing the Salagram Shila. He mixed together and he took that. Now, when we take Tirtham, or when we take Charanamritam, or whatever we take, when we take it like this. After that, we put it on our head as a mark of respect to that Charanamritam or Tirtham what we take. So our Ambarish Maharaj also did exactly the same thing. He took it and he put it on his head and he lifted his head. As soon as he lifted his head, what did he see there? He saw Durvasa Muni standing there. Right in front of him, he arrived on the spot. Durvasa Muni has come out of the water, and then he realized that he was late for the Dwadashi Aradhana, for Parana. As soon as he arrived there, he looked at our Ambarish Maharaj, and Ambarish Maharaj, what he saw was Ambarish Maharaj taking this the Charanamritam to himself, and this infuriated Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni could not bear that. He got immediately angry. So angry that Durvasa Muni could not resist himself. What did he do? Immediately he decided that you have offended me. You have invited me as a guest. I've come here. And you did not have even the courtesy to wait till I come back from my from the river. You were in such a rush to take it. And I have to curse you. You cannot live in this world, he decided. Durvasa Muni, the wet jada or matted hair from that, he pulled out one hair and hit it on the ground. From there came out, appeared what is known as Kritya. Kritya was a personality who appeared from that, and she was so ferocious, and she was instructed by Durvasa Muni to get hold of Ambarish and eat him immediately. This is Durvasa Muni. So you can imagine how fearful people were of Durvasa Muni. You have to remember, in the in the earlier canto, we saw what happened to the Apsaras women. When they were making the garland, Durvasa Muni arrived in the heavenly planet. What did they do? They didn't say one word to him. He just asked them, "Oh, you making garlands, are you?" That's all he said. They didn't say one word. Whatever garland they have made, they put it at Durvasa Muni's feet, paid their obeisances, and they left the scene quietly. They didn't want to stand there for a second because they knew the trouble that can develop. If anything goes wrong, what can happen? And it did happen, didn't it? It had to happen. Next thing what happened was, Durvasa Muni walked through the through the garden to the heavenly planets, and he saw Indra sitting there on top of the elephant. And he handed over this garland to Indra to put it on. Indra wanted to come down from the elephant. Durvasa Muni told Indra, "Don't come down, stay there where you are." He didn't mind. So Indra thought, "I will take this garland." He was already having a garland. He wanted to take it out and put this new garland on himself. In the meanwhile, this particular new garland which Durvasa Muni has given to Indra, that was kept on the forehead of the elephant. This Airavadam, because the bees and others started coming and started giving trouble, Airavadam took it out from there and put it on the feet and ground it with his feet. That was enough for the whole heavenly planets to finish. What did Ambarish, what happened to them? What happened was that in 1 second, Durvasa Muni told them that all of, he didn't say without specific mention to anybody, Jara and Nara, let it happen to all. He said, Jara means old age, and Nara means diseases also along with that. All these, old age and disease, you can say completely, let it be there. And the result was that whole of the heavenly planets, right from Indra onwards, it was like an old age home. It was a group of geriatrics moving around in the wheelchair. This was the heavenly planets at that time. So you can imagine
This is Durvasa Muni. And then what happened after that? To bring them back to normal life, Krishna had to appear in the special form, lift the with the Mandara mountain, and then churn the milk ocean, get the medicine from that, the nectar, and then serve all these demigods while fighting against these demons. And the whole battle that happened after that, we have heard all that before in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can see one curse of Durvasa Muni, what it can have, how much problem it can bring to the whole planetary system. That the whole heavenly planets had to suffer because of this. And the result was that Krishna had to appear, take the form of Mohini, Dhanvantari, two forms he has taken there, and Kurma incarnation also, along with that, to lift the Mandara mountain. All these things happened only because of one thing, because of this curse from Durvasa Muni to Indra. So this is how Durvasa Muni is. So everybody knew this very well, and they were careful while dealing with Durvasa Muni. They won't just jump into any argument, discussion, nothing. The best thing is, if you know somebody is like that, what's the best thing to do? Pay your obeisances and quietly escape from there. We also do the same thing, isn't it? That when we find some Maharaj is coming and we have a little difficulty, then we pray our obeisances, Namaskar Maharaj, we go. So in the same way, Durvasa Muni also was like that he was coughing, he was causing so much difficulty. Ambarish Maharaj couldn't say anything. Before that, Kritya was ready to eat him. So when this was happening, who was watching all these things? Our Sudarshanam was watching this. Sudarshanam has seen this, what was going on. Sudarshanam thought to himself that if this is what Durvasa Muni is capable of, I have not been sent here to just sit and watch this. What's going to happen? Krishna had sent me with specific instructions, and I have to execute that. There is no question about that. Whether it's Durvasa Muni or any other Muni, it doesn't matter. Instructions are very clear to me that help my devotee. So immediately our Sudarshanam decided, I have to show my form as well. So Sudarshanam manifested there in the form of disc straight away. And as soon as Sudarshanam started showing its potency, then our Kritya, who has come out from Durvasa's hair, matted hair, was just like a fly jumping into the fire. Shalabhayan munimanyadhavil, just like a normal fly, the Kritya has jumped into this fire of Sudarshanam. Sudarshanam took that form and fell into that. But when Kritya decided to eat Ambarish Maharaj, what did Ambarish Maharaj do at that time? He went and sat down there. He couldn't do anything. He thought to himself like this. He said to himself, last 12 months, with Krishna's mercy and with the mercy of the great sages and the brahmanas, I was able to perform this Dwadashi Aradhana to please Krishna. All along my life, I have performed and acted in such a way to please Krishna. And if at the end, this is what is going to happen, let that happen, because that is also Krishna's decision. If this is what Krishna wants, let that happen. This is what Ambarish Maharaj said to himself. And he closed his eyes and he started thinking about Krishna. This is the mood he went into. So when this happened between Kritya and our Sudarshanam ate up Kritya in a few minutes, it was finished. Durvasa Muni looked at it, and Durvasa Muni understood who this is, who Sudarshanam is. It is Krishna's discus arrived. So Sudarshanam said to Krishna that the next thing is that I have to finish you, because what you have done today is not something Krishna will accept. Krishna is not allowing us to accept this. It's my duty to protect the king, and before you get the next curse comes from you, I have to finish you. So Sudarshanam started approaching Durvasa Muni. Bhagavatam says that Sudarshanam disc looked as though millions of suns were, powerful effulgence were coming out from Sudarshanam. And while looking at it, Durvasa Muni was getting frightened about it. And Durvasa Muni at that point thought himself, I have some doubts, he said. When Durvasa understood that, Durvasamuni understood that this is Sudarshanam who has come. Durvasamuni told Sudarshanam, I have got some doubts in my mind. Sudarshanam said, you may have doubts or may not have any doubts. It doesn't matter. I have to do my duty, he said. But please give me some time, Durvasamuni. And straight away he went to Brahmalokam, Brahma's planet. And Sudarshanam followed him. Sudarshanam said, I have no problem. You can get your doubts clarified wherever you want to go. But I will finish you after that. I will give you some time. Because if there is some doubt somebody has before leaving the body, there is no harm in allowing him to get that clarified. So he went to Brahmalokam. Brahma saw what was happening. And Brahma said to Sudarshanam, Durvasamuni, don't waste your time here. I can't help you. Nothing I can do for you. This is something what you have done, and you have to accept the result. Straight away, he left there and went to Lord Shiva's planet, to Kailasam. He went to Kailasam. When he went to Kailas, Mahadevan, Lord Shiva also said to Durvasamuni that, I don't think I can help you. Durvasamuni is an incarnation of Lord Shiva in this world. Just like Atri Maharshi through Anasuya begotten three sons, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Brahma was born as Soma or moon, and Vishnu was born as Dattatreya Maharshi, and Shiva was born as Durvasamuni. So these three personalities are actually expansions of the three Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva have come in as the son of Anasuya Devi of Atri Maharshi. So all three of them were very powerful personalities. And Durvasamuni was taking shelter of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was saying to him, I can't help you. Because what you have done is an offense to the Supreme Lord. And unless you pacify him, I don't think there is anybody else who can help you. So at this point, both Brahma and Shiva made it clear to Durvasamuni that unless you take shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, you have no other option. That you will not be able to escape from this situation. Without looking left or right, he straight away went to Vaikuntha. Durvasamuni went to Vaikuntha straight away. Now, there is something interesting to note here also. When he went to Brahmalokam, Brahma's planet, or when he went to Lord Shiva's planet, Durvasamuni was not saying one word. He went there and they told him what is the situation. But when he went to see Mahavishnu or Krishna in the Vaikuntha planet, what did he do? Srimad Bhagavatam says what he did at that time. It says very clearly, Ha ha, Achyudananda Sadipsida Prabho. He started chanting the holy names one after the other. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam is saying that even the highest danger when one is Yad bibedi swayam bhayam, that even when one experiences the highest danger in life, one should chant the holy names of Krishna, like Durvasamuni did. Aha chudananda sadipsidam prabho kridahasam mavahi vishwabhavana. Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see, Parishit Maharaj is asking to Sri Shrugan, how did Durvasamuni go to Vaikuntham? That Durvasamuni did two things at the same time. When you commit an offense like that to a personality like Ambarish Maharaj, there is only one option left. That a great devotee like that, if you commit an offense, you have only one option left. What is that? Ahachyudananda sadipsida prabhom kridagasam mavahi vishwabhavanam. He was saying loudly, I have committed an offense to your devotee. He is saying to Krishna loudly and coming into Vaikuntha planet. This is how Durvasamuni gone into the Vaikuntha planet. I have committed offense at the feet of your devotee. Kridagasam mavahi vishwabhavanam. Achyuda ananda sadipsida prabhom. That you are all these holy names by which you are glorified. Let me chant those names. Why? Chanting the holy names potency, they wanted to indicate in that. This is how powerful the holy names are. When Durvasamuni chants the holy name, it is different because Durvasamuni is Shiva himself. And when he chants the holy name, it has its own its own potency and its own sweetness. So naturally, Ahachudananda Sadipsita Prabhu Kridagasam Mavahi Vishwa Bhavana. That immediately Lord Mahavishnu, who was lying on the Adishesha, woke up from the bed and came up to him. Aha, who is coming? This Durvasa Muni, isn't it? Went and started embracing him. Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni has come with a very serious problem. But before he came to that entrance gate of the Vaikuntha planet, Sudarshanam told Durvasa Muni one thing. I will give you 5 minutes time, not more than that. Because if I stand here and you go on discussing there or what you want to discuss, later on, Mahavishnu will turn around and ask me, why have you brought him here? And if you ask me that question, it's very difficult for me to answer. I have sent here with a purpose. So I can give you 5 minutes. Please finish whatever doubts you have. You get it clarified and come back straight away, he said. And he waited outside the entrance gate. That's where Sudarshanam waited. And our Durvasa Muni inside went there. Ahachudananda Sadipsida Prabhu Kridaga Sammavahi Vishwabhavana. Then Durvasa Muni realized that I have committed an offense. Please forgive my offense. He is telling to Mahavishnu, I have committed an offense to your devotee. Please forgive me. It is then that you should see the words in the Bhagavadam, what Mahavishnu spoke to Durvasa Muni. Mahavishnu said to Durvasa Muni, my dear great sage, he said, in this one particular thing, I am helpless. He said, I can't do anything about it. Because some days ago, my devotee, that is this Ambarish, what did he do? He told me that whatever I have in my possession, my kingdom, my palace, my family, my children, my this, that, everything whatever I have got, I am offering this to you, he said. He said to me like that. You will see the same thing reflecting in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayers also. In the Sharanagari prayers, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says exactly the same thing. That that offering one's everything, what one has to Krishna, is the total Atma Sharanagari or Atma Nivedanam. Completely surrendering. That's only possible for such great personalities who have such strong desire for going back to the spiritual world and realizing Krishna. In our case, that problem doesn't occur. So, Kridagasam Mahi Vishwabhavanam. Our Mahavishnu said to Durvasa Muni that the situation is like this. My devotee has handed over everything to me. Now, it's not good that you take everything, but you don't give back anything. So, because he has given me everything, whatever he has got, whatever in the king's control, the emperor's control was, including the kingdom or the horses and elephants and everything, whatever palace, the gold, whatever wealth he had, whatever soldiers or whatever possessions, wealth he considers as his, he has offered it to me one day. And he said to me at the end that I am offering myself to you. This is what Ambarish did. I am offering me also to you. Now please take me. This is what he said. Now if a devotee like Ambarish comes and tells me like that, I can't say no to him. So what did I do? He said, I will accept everything. I have accepted everything from him that day. And when you accept something like that, it's not proper. That it's not simply taking charity, everything what I get. I have to give back also something. So I gave him back. What did I do? I offered him everything what I have got back to him. Including all this Vaikuntha planet, including myself, Sudarshanam, or Lakshmi Devi. Whatever I have in Vaikuntha, I have offered it to him as well. In the same way. So now I am in a very helpless situation because everything is under his control now. He is my devotee. And that is how my relationship with devotees are. When he said this to Durvasa Muni, Durvasa Muni did not know what to answer. Because Ambarish Maharaj said he can't do anything. Shiva says he can't do anything. Now Vishnu is also saying he can't do anything about it. Only thing he said to him, Vishnu said to Ambarish Maharaj, to Durvasa Muni, go back to Ambarish and tell him what Ajanadam de Parama Paranubhavam, that go back to him and tell him what you are feeling, hold on to his feet and loudly tell him that you have committed an offense. Let everybody hear that you have committed an offense. Like this. He started saying this to, that is the only thing you can do. When Durvasa Muni realized now, there is no point in standing there and talking to Mahavishnu, came out of the Vaikuntha. When he came into the Vaikuntha, Sudarshana was standing there. Sudarshana asked him straight away, have you got all your doubts clarified? Everything clarified, he said. All clear, he said. Please follow me, he said. They straight away both came back to Amrish Maharaj's palace. Amrish was still sitting there from the same situation when he left, that time when Durvasa Muni left him. Durvasa Muni came and held his feet, Amrish Maharaj's lotus feet, and started apologizing to him loudly, saying to that, Ajanadam Veda Paranubhavam, without knowing that I have committed this offense to your, to their devotee like you. This is what he said. Kruthanakam Bhavada Priyanam, that I have committed this offense to such a person who is very, very dear to the Supreme Lord. Kruthanakam De Bhavada Priyanam, that you are so dear to that great personality in the Vaikuntha planet, that what I have done is a serious offense. And he started apologizing to Ambarish. Ambarish suddenly woke up from his samadhi. After when he fell down, he was thinking about Krishna like this. But now he woke up and he started saying to Durvasa Muni that I am nobody. I am just an ordinary devotee of Krishna. Ambarish Maharaj's humility was such. But whatever has happened is Krishna's desire, whatever way it has happened. But let this not disturb our relationship. And immediately Ambarish Maharaj started glorifying Sudarshanam, who was standing there ready to burn Durvasa Muni. And within few minutes, by the prayers of Ambarish, Sudarshana wheel immediately came down and immediately disappeared from the scene. And then it became to a normal situation. It was then that Durvasa Muni held Ambarish Maharaj's hand, took him out, and told everybody else to stop anything. Ambarish Maharaj hasn't eaten prasadam for a long time. He asked Ambarish Maharaj to sit down. Durvasa Muni fed him with the feast. Whole feast was prepared, available. It was offered to Ambarish Maharaj. At that time, served by Durvasa Muni. After this was completed, Durvasa Muni held Ambarish's hand and together took him into the throne and embraced him nicely and told Ambarish like this. He said to Ambarish Maharaj that for what I have done by giving you this, by offending you in this way, did you get upset with me? This was the question Durvasa posed at that point. Why did he ask? He said to Durvasa, said to Ambarish, my intention was to know your devotion all over the world. Let the whole world know about your devotion to Krishna. This is why I have done this to you. Did you get upset with me? Only when you hear this question from Durvasa Muni, you will realize who is Durvasa Muni is. That personality, Durvasa Muni's mood, or that relationship with Ambarish. And in just then, that Durvasa Muni left there and went away from there. Ambarish Maharaj continued his life. And there is not much discussion after that about Ambarish Maharaj's story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But in addition to that, there is a lot of things goes along with this story. First of all, Durvasa Muni, people who read Srimad Bhagavatam can come to the conclusion that Durvasa Muni is an ordinary personality. But from the history you can see that in all these pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where the great sages are involved with Krishna, all these pastimes were performed or carried out only with the one intention, that Krishna's desire was to be fulfilled. And these great sages, they assist Krishna in that process. We should never think that Durvasa Muni was by any means in any way missing out on anything. In the sense that when Durvasa Muni went to Vaikuntha planet, Mahavishnu told Durvasa Muni one thing. Yanam tapasya vinayanyudameva manyam ya hambarisha padameva bajeva bhuman. That when the argument started between Durvasa Muni and Mahavishnu, the discussion was, Yanam tapasya vinayanyudameva manyam. Yanam means knowledge. Durvasa Muni asked Krishna or Vishnu at that time, don't I have more knowledge than Ambarish Maharaj? Mahavishnu said, yes, you have more, much more knowledge than Ambarish Maharaj has got. Then, have I not performed more austerities and penances than Ambarish Maharaj has done? Krishna said, yes, you have. You are far, far higher compared to Ambarish Maharaj in knowledge as well as austerities are concerned. Jnanam and tapas. But these two things are only good. Jnanam tapascha vinayanyudameva manyam. Vinayam means, normally translation is humility. But in this particular instance, this vinayam refers to bhakti. Bhakti means devotion. So, without devotion, if one has a lot of knowledge and a lot of austerities and penances or renunciation, Krishna says that is all useless. So, devotion is the key word. Jnanam tapascha vinayanyudameva manyam ya hambarisha padameva bhajeva bhuman. Vishnu said to Durvasa Muni, although the other two things he is lacking compared to you, on devotion he is far, far higher than you. This is how he answered. As a devotee, Ambarish Maharaj's position is far, far superior to you. Therefore, because you do not have that devotion what Ambarish Maharaj has, I have only one option left to ask you to go back and fall at his feet. And this is what has happened. So you can see from the Srimad Bhagavatam that bhakti devotion has these two limbs, jnanam and vairagyam. Many, many people study a lot of books. They develop a lot of knowledge from the books. Also, due to their sincerity and intensive practice of austerities and penances in life, they make progress in spiritual life, just like our Durvasa Muni and so many other great sages. What Krishna is saying here is, Jnanam tapascha vinayanyudameva manyam ya hambarisha padameva bhajeva bhuman. That go and worship Ambarish's feet, then you can escape from this problem at the moment. Because all your knowledge, all your renunciation has no value compared to the devotion what Ambarish Maharaj has for me. So this is the situation. So anyway, Durvasa Muni left. And this Durvasa Muni, although he has performed all these activities, for us, we shouldn't think about Durvasa Muni like that. And there is ample reasons for saying this. Durvasa Muni's relationship with Krishna is different. What we may not understand sometimes. We will read Ambarish Maharaj's story and come to the conclusion, oh, who is this Durvasa Muni? Forget about him. I mean, I am a devotee. What do I care about Durvasa Muni? That doesn't work like that. Unfortunately, it is like that. Because this Durvasa Muni and relationship with Krishna, if you want to know, you should see when Krishna was in the planet, how things happened between Krishna and Durvasa Muni. You can see wherever Krishna was there, Durvasa Muni was also there. You can see from the stories how things developed. For 17 months and 17 days, in Rajasuya sacrifice was performed in Indraprastham by the Pandavas. And Krishna was present there all these 17 months and 17 days there. And throughout this period, Durvasa Muni stayed with Krishna there. That is how it is. That is that relationship between Krishna and Durvasa Muni. And who washed Durvasa Muni's feet? Krishna washed Durvasa Muni's feet. When the sages were coming in to the Rajasuya sacrifice one after the other, all the great, great personalities, Vishwamitra, Vasishta, Devala, Asita, and Parashuram, Bhargavaraman, there are so many, many, many great sages, lists mentioned in the Bhagavadam, who are coming for this Rajasuyam sacrifice. So, what was Krishna's engagement in the Rajasuyam? Rajasuyam sacrifice, Krishna's service was that he was offered the pot to wash the feet of the sages. This is what Yudhishthira Maharaj has given to Krishna. Krishna was doing this service there. So, when Durvasa Muni came for the Rajasuya sacrifice, first, after washing the feet, he called Krishna separately. And he said to Krishna, I've got something to tell you, he said. So, Krishna said, what is Durvasa Muni up to now? Is he going to curse me now something? This is what came to his mind. Durvasa Muni took out a packet from his pocket and gave it to Krishna and told him, keep this with you. Till I go, keep it with you. Because what is this? This packet is actually my anger. I packed it into one pocket and given to you. Please keep it. Because Durvasa Muni knows that Krishna can keep that packet nicely. Otherwise, Durvasa Muni was concerned that I will be cursing everybody here in this Rajasuyam. Whole Rajasuyam will get upset. And before anything such thing happens, I better take the precaution. So 17 months and 17 days, when Durvasa Muni stayed in Indraprastham for the Rajasuya sacrifice, no bad incidents happened. Nothing happened, everything went peacefully. Krishna washed Durvasa Muni's feet, fed him, made sure that Durvasa Muni had no opportunity to complain about anything. So you can see there. Now, think about this. When Krishna was in his childhood, in his Rasa dance was going on in Vrindavanam, all the gopis and Krishna were together, performing Rasa dance for days together. Rasa dance was going on. So one day, Krishna didn't turn up. When Krishna didn't turn up, all the gopis were waiting very anxiously for arrival of Krishna. And it got very late at night. So late in the night, Krishna comes walking in. And he was so late, all the gopis got upset with Krishna. Srimati Radharani, Chandravali, all of them started complaining to Krishna that you are most unreliable person in this world. You are this, you are that. Whatever came to their mind, as usual, they complained about Krishna. But Krishna became very serious about everything. Krishna said to them, do you know what I was doing before you start yelling at me like this? This is how he said to them, that I had a very, very important business to do. Somebody has come here and I had to go and see him. So the gopis thought, who is this person who has come to see Krishna here? As far as they are concerned, Krishna is theirs. Krishna is a part of us. All the time we spent together with Krishna was heaven for them. Nothing else for them in life. And their happiness is all centered around Krishna. They don't know anything else in life except this association with Krishna. So gopis were talking like this. Krishna said to them, my spiritual master has arrived. And I had to go and see him. This is why I got late. So this gopi started thinking, what spiritual master? Krishna has a spiritual master? This is something funny thing they are hearing first time. Krishna talking. They never heard Krishna talking about any spiritual master even before. Not only that, as far as they are concerned, Krishna is not even educated. Because they never see him going to any school, GCSEs, A-levels, nothing. He has nothing into his credit. And this person is saying about the spiritual master. So gopi started looking at each other and said to Krishna, if you have a spiritual master like that, we would also like to see that person and get his, in a very polite manner, they put it to Krishna, because they wanted to see him first more than anything else. They wanted to see him and receive his blessings, they said to him. So Krishna thought, what should we do now? Should they let them go or should we stop them from going? Anyway, Krishna said to them, my spiritual master is sitting on the other side of the Kalindi River. It's known as Bandiravanam. Bandiravanam is like Madhuvanam, Vrindavanam, another vanam, and one of the 12 forests, Bandiravanam. He's sitting there in meditation. If you want to go and see him, you can go and see him. But That's one thing. My spiritual master is not an ordinary spiritual master. Be extremely humble and extremely careful in what you are saying or what you are doing. If you upset him, you won't come back. That will be the end of it. So Krishna gave this very, very, very strong warning to the gopis. So Radharani and all the others decided anyway. What did they know? They knew how to please people. These gopis, they were extremely clever. They knew how to people. They prepared wonderful preparations. 56 preparations says in the Garga Bhagavatam. This story is not in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is in the Gargavani story. In Garga Bhagavatam, this story is described in detail. There, the chapter is titled itself as Shruti Rupam. In other words, all these gopis, who are they? Gopis are Vedas personified. Therefore, Shruti Rupam, the title itself is given as Shruti. Shruti is the Vedas. So, Vedas personified, they are worshipping Druvasa Muni. That is that title in the chapter. So, Gargamuni says there that he decided they were going. When they were going, the whole group of gopis, they prepared extensively wonderful feast and prepared 56, it says, preparations. All 56 preparations. Packed them all in nice packets, nice pots, and took them all. Only then they realized we have to cross the river Kalindi. Up to that time they couldn't think that. As usual, the mind. You can understand. The planning is like this. Oh, we have to go, we have to go. We date everything done together. So when you get to Kalindi, oh, we start thinking, we have to cross the river now. So at that time they said to Krishna that how do we cross Kalindi? Kalindi is flowing full now. Krishna said, I won't come with you because I already had taken his blessings and I have come back now. But if you want to go and see him, you can go. I'll give you a short solution to the problem. When you get to Kalindi River, you tell the Kalindi River, stand near the river and tell the Kalindi that if Krishna is a brahmachari, give our way to get through. Just say this to the river. And if what you said is true, then the river will let you in. The river will, you can cross through the river. It will allow you to pass through. So gopis thought themselves, what kind of brahmachari is this? This brahmachari from day one has been with us, singing and dancing and enjoying. I never seen him any brahmachari nature in this person. And he is telling us like this, that go to Kalindi River and tell the Kalindi, that Krishna had sent us, and if Krishna is a brahmachari, then you can let us through the river. They went there and they said exactly the same thing what Krishna has told the gopis to do. So gopis spoke that when they got to the river, and to their own surprise, Kalindi River opened up and the gopis could walk through the river with all their pots in their head, with all the preparations they have got. Crossed the river, gone to the other side. When they got to the other side, Krishna has given them clear instruction where to go and look for in Bandiravanam. All these places are known to the gopis also, because sometime or the other, they were such people, cowherd men and cowherd women. They always used to wander around in the forest, and Krishna has made acquaintance with all these places so nicely. They were able to describe to the gopis where to look for the Durvasa Muni. So when they went there, they saw this great personality with a long beard and sitting there, all over ashes on his heads and arms and everywhere, and in meditation they are sitting there. And he was sitting there. Durvasa Muni is sitting there. All the gopis went up to him very quietly, first paid their obeisances and stood there. And brought all these pots what they offered, they brought it in front of Durvasa Muni and kept it there. And they didn't say one word. Durvasa Muni inquired, who are you? Where are you coming from? Gopi said that we are coming from Vrindavanam. Krishna had sent us. Krishna told us that his spiritual master has come. And we have come to see Krishna's spiritual master and to pay our respects. Durvasa Muni was very pleased that Krishna had sent them all to him. And he said to, what's all this? He said. So they said, they have brought all this prasadam, they have cooked nicely and brought it. All the preparations, everything. Durvasa Muni, you start feeding me now. He said to the gopis. Gopis started feeding him with all what they have brought in the pots and all the 56 preparations fully emptied by Durvasa Muni. He ate everything what they have brought. And then they said to the gopis, Durvasa Muni told the gopis, do you want to ask anything? Gopis said to Durvasa Muni that we have one desire, that is Krishna should come as our husband. This was their desire. But they revealed it in such a way, not fully openly saying this, but Durvasa Muni understood their desire in the heart. And Durvasa Muni's blessings in the Garga Bhagavatam says, Durvasa Muni told the gopis, if you love this Krishna with your heart completely, you will get everything what you want. And not only that, when you leave this body, you will go back to him. And this was Durvasa Muni's blessings to the gopis. And when Durvasa Muni said this to the gopis, gopis did not want to stay anymore there, because they were thinking that suppose if we say anything and Durvasa Muni, because Krishna has warned enough that don't stay too long, he said, stay only for that much time required, and after pay your obeisances all the time so it doesn't get upset with you. See, this paying obeisance is a very powerful thing in the world. If you have some uneasiness or difficulty with somebody in any relationship, if you pay your obeisances as devotees, automatically that upset mind will clear up. Immediately he feels that this person has a good heart, that he is able to surrender like this or pay his obeisances. And this is why in this tradition that we pay obeisances to each other. For this reason only, that once you pay your obeisances, there is no, even if sometimes normally in our worldly life, all kinds of feelings develop. Sometimes good feeling, but mostly it's bad feeling. So these bad feelings will go away if a devotee learns to pay their obeisances to each other. This system was in existence in the beginning. But over a period of time, these systems have all gone from us. We have become now, Haribo, Haribo. You can't even look at the face of each other. They go two different directions because they are so busy in their service. So anyway, that is how life is today. So times have changed. But Prabhupada was very particular about this, that when so many young people are working together with our false ego kicking us all the time, there is always this possibility that the ego will control us. And there is always a trouble that you will feel proud of what you are little you are doing in this world. And with that pride it develops also disrespect to others. The so-called humility will go away from the devotee's heart. And in that situation, the remedy is that if you pay your obeisances to a person, automatically that feeling will go away. That ill feelings, whatever that has developed in the heart due to our material transactions or the uneasiness, that will go away. So Krishna has instructed the gopis to pay as much obeisances as possible to Durvasa Muni all the time, so that Durvasa Muni never get upset with you. So the whole business was over. Durvasa Muni now said that you can go now, he said to them. So it is only then they thought that we have crossed this river this way, how do we go back now? They started thinking at that time. So they mentioned that to Durvasa Muni. What shall we do? When we came, they said to us, Krishna told us that if we say to the river that Krishna is a brahmachari, then the river will let us go through. And the river did. Kalindi did let us go through. Shall we do the same thing now while going back? They said to Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni said, no, that won't work, he said. He said, that won't work. While going back, you go to the Kalindi river and tell Kalindi that Durvasa Muni, who doesn't eat anything, only eat what? How does his name come, Durvasa Muni? It comes from, because he takes what is known as Durvarasam. Durvarasam means, from the particular grass, he grinds it. He himself does it, all this. And two or three drops from that, he takes it every few days. This is his meal. And that he satisfies him also. He doesn't require anything else in this world to eat. That is the kind of sage he is. Durvasa Muni is known for this. Durvarasam. Durvarasam is this particular the juice that comes from grinding this grass, Durva grass or Karaga grass, it's called, so many names. So from that, he used to satisfy his food requirements, whatever he wanted. So Durvasa Muni is saying to our gopis, go and tell Kalindi River, Durvasa Muni, who doesn't eat anything except Durva Rasam every few days, has told us to give the way. So the gopis could not understand this also. Just now, 56 preparation has brought in and ate everything happily. And he is telling us like this. Krishna is telling us, I am the eternal Brahmachari. Are they all making a fool of us altogether? They got suspicious of Durvasa Muni. They got suspicious of Krishna as well. And this is in their head. They started completely confused. This happens for us also, isn't it? Sometimes. In spiritual life, you hear so many people, so many Maharajas, so many sannyasis, so many people come and say so many things. And one says one thing, another says another thing, another says another thing. You hear everything. And in the evening you are sitting down and thinking, what do I have to do now? Which one should I follow? He has said, this is the most important thing. Somebody said, you should be chanting all the time. Somebody said, no, you should distribute as many books as you can. That is the perfection. Somebody else says to, no, this is nothing. You make as many life members. That's the perfection. And somebody else says, no, if you don't cook prasadam for Krishna, your life is not perfect. Everything else is secondary. Like this, everybody gives stress to different things. And we hear all these things. And we also get confused, not knowing which one to start with, or where to start, or where to end. So this way spiritual life goes on. Anyway, our gopis also came to the river and told Kalindi, we have come from Durvasa Muni, who doesn't eat anything, who only take Durva Rasam. He has told us that we should say this to you. If you agree with that, give us the way, he said. Kalindi River immediately opened up. They crossed the river to the other side. Went back to Krishna. So when they got back, they looked at Krishna in a suspicious way. Why suspicious? Because they had, it says in the Garga Bhagavatam, that these gopis, they were simple people. They were not complicated. They had a very simple mind. But only thing what they knew is, they learned how to love Krishna. That was their only asset. And this Krishna, is he fooling us now? This is what that has come to their mind. So when this thought came to them, for some time they didn't ask anything. So ultimately, who started the conversation? Krishna started the conversation. Krishna said to the gopis, what happened? Gopis said, we went. And then, did Kalindi let you through? Yes, Kalindi let us through. We told him that you are the eternal Brahmachari in this world. Krishna said, yes, so that's correct. So you got through, okay. Then what happened? Oh, we saw Durvasa Muni. And what did he tell you? Oh, he told us that we should serve you and look after you properly, and then everything we inquire, we will get it from that. All great auspiciousness will come from that. Right? So you're going to do that? Krishna said. Gopi said, yes, we will do that. And then what happened? So we came back. So how did it happen? Durvasa Muni told us that tell Kalindi that we don't eat. Durvasa Muni had sent us, who doesn't eat anything except Durva Rasam. Nothing else. You say this to Kalindi and Kalindi will let you through. Kalindi will let you through. He said that. So when he came to that, Krishna said, what happened? He said, we told the Kalindi and Kalindi let us through the river. Okay. So now what's the problem? He said. So they looked at each other and they said to Krishna, we don't understand you. They said to him, you are saying to us that you are a brahmachari. That what is your brahmachari? What kind of brahmachari are you? He said to Krishna, what does this all mean? This is the question, isn't it? That Krishna is saying something, Durvasa Muni is saying something, and gopis are getting confused. We are also confused. We are also thinking, what's all this about? Answer is in the Bhagavad Gita. If you take Bhagavad Gita, I think it is in the third chapter. There is a... See, Bhagavad Gita is so difficult sometimes. how much Krishna has packed into why Bhagavad Gita is considered to be the topmost knowledge of Vedic literature is only for this reason. That in simple verses, Krishna has packed so much knowledge into it. Krishna says there that in that one particular verse, Krishna says to Arjuna,
Yanagni dagda karmanam tamahu panditam bodaha.
That there are personalities in this world who by their knowledge and realizations, whatever karma they perform, it won't touch them. This is what we have to understand. When Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita, we do not fully understand what exactly it means. This is what it means.
Jnanagni dagdha karmanam tamahu panditam buddhah.
That jnana agni, that their fire of knowledge is burning so strongly inside, that whatever activities they perform with their body, it will not affect them in any way. This is the importance of karma. Karma means any karma you do in this world, it will come back to you. It will stay in the form of vasana inside. This is the difference between Krishna, Durvasa and us. For us, a small karma is enough. Any small karma we do in this world, the nature of karma is such that it will stay as a vasana inside. Whereas for Krishna and Durvasa Muni, because of the fire of knowledge in them and the fire of realizations, what is going on inside,
Jnanagni dagdha karmanam tamahu panditam buddhaha.
Krishna says very specifically in that verse, Buddha or realized souls, call them as panditas. Because why they have come to that stage? Already that karmam cannot touch them anymore. A stage will come like that. But that is only attained by great personalities like them. But it is possible for everybody to achieve that only when one comes to that level of knowledge and realization.
Nirashiryadadiktalma tetta sarva parigraha shariram kevalam karmam kurvannapnodikil bisham.
Bhagavad Gita. Next verse Krishna says, Nirashiryadadiktalma. They are so fixed in the transcendental position or in spiritual position.
Shariram kevalam karmam.
Body is doing the work. I am not doing it. This conception is very clear in their body, in their mind. And this conception we don't have. This is where the difference is. What is our position?
Ahankara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyade.
This is us. And what are they?
Tekta sarva parigraham shariram kevalam karmam kurvan apnodi kilbisham.
Because when they do anything with their body, it doesn't affect them. Whereas we, what do? We are thinking always,
prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyade.
I am doing this. It's me. Who else except me? That this is our position. So you see the difference between us and Durvasa Muni. So this is where the difference is coming. If we come to that stage, whatever karmam the body does, why did Durvasa Muni take all that prasadam? Because it was brought by the gopis. Krishna's devotees have brought it. He took it. And he could not upset them because they were Krishna's devotees. And they have come to please him. So for their satisfaction, he took it. Otherwise, two or three drops of Durvarasam is more than enough for that great sage.
So, shariram kevalam karmam kurvan apnodi kilbisham nirashiryada chittalma tekta sarva parigraha.
Krishna says, there is no more connections with this world when they perform activities in this world. But in our understanding, just like devotees also sometimes, not always, but some instances, we also get to this false understanding that we are the doer. And when this is strongly working inside, it takes a long time to come out of that consciousness. Whereas advanced devotees, they will always say, it is Krishna's desire that it has to happen like this. Krishna wants this to happen. Krishna wants that to happen. Krishna wants me to eat. Krishna wants me to sleep. This is to what extent they have come out of their bodily concept of life. So you can see from this that in the Garga Bhagavatam, Garga Muni said this, which Srinarada Muni told the king Bahalashwa. That is where this story comes in. From this you can see What was the relationship between Krishna and Durvasamuni? Krishna will always refer to him as my spiritual master. Number two. Thirdly, I mentioned about previously in Indraprastham what happened. Now you see what happened in Vrindavanam. Now let us see what happens in Dwaraka. Both in Vrindavanam and Indraprastham, Krishna, wherever Krishna is there, Durvasamuni is also there. This is how we have to understand. There is in Dwaraka a famous temple of Durvasamuni built up for this reason. That all along, when Krishna was in Dwaraka, Durvasamuni was also present there. And that was the sometimes Krishna has given trouble also to Durvasamuni. Not that every time he was allowed to get away with it. If you remember in Mahabharata, in that story, this always happened when Krishna was in Dwaraka. Pandavas were in the forest, and Yudhishthira Maharaj and the five Pandavas and Draupadi, Panchali and Kuntidevi, they were all living in the forest when one day Durvasamuni walked in. And when Durvasamuni walked in, by then, just then, they all finished their meals. And by propitiating the sun god, they have received this Akshayavatram, the great pot of Panchali from which she fed everybody. Any sages, any great personality came, everyone was offered a feast. And the feeding the guests was not a problem, which was a great burden for Draupadi all the time. And she managed all that because of this special pot, which everybody knows this story, famous story of Akshayavatram, of this, the unlimited food that came from that. But that particular day, when Durvasamuni had come, everybody has eaten. And because there was nothing available anymore, it was then that Draupadi, as usual, prayed to Krishna for help. And Krishna came and ate from that pot. The result was that Durvasa was fed enough. Not only that, he was not even fed. What has happened was, exactly like in the case of Ambarish Maharaj, Durvasa Muni comes not alone, with 10,000 disciples he has arrived. Sometimes we say, isn't it, when one guru comes, it's very hard to handle. But when you have many disciples also, there's not enough facilities to offer everybody. Then you start adjusting things here and there. So similarly here, in this forest where Durvasamuni was there with all the other, Durvasamuni was there with all the other Pandavas, our Draupadi was there with all the Pandavas, Durvasamuni walks in with tens and thousands of disciples and expect to be fed. And then tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, I'm just going to take bath and then I'll come back from the river and everything should be ready by then. Is that okay? He says to Yudhishthira Maharaj. This is how he is. So he goes to bathe in the river. And after bathing the river, it was then there was somebody's heart was burning here. Whose heart was that? Draupadi's heart. Draupadi was burning inside. What am I supposed to do now? Because Draupadi, as a good wife, and having looked after them through this Akshayavatram, Draupadi had no choice now except to pray to Krishna. So in all occasions, you will notice throughout Mahabharatam and Srimad Bhagavatam, this Krishna has one thing. When Draupadi wants something, Krishna will make sure that it happens. That is the first. It has always been like that. And till the last minute Draupadi left this world, Krishna has made sure that this one requirement of Draupadi was always met with. Even at the last minute, when Draupadi left this world, if you read in the Mahaprasthanam of the Pandavas going back to the Himalayas, you will see how Draupadi prayed to Krishna. That's enough, you can understand Draupadi's heart. That Draupadi's point was that Yudhishthira Maharaj left everybody, handed over the kingdom to Parikshit. And without looking back, he started walking. He didn't look back. He started walking back to the heavens, back to the Himalayas, and then from there to the heavenly planets. So when Yudhishthira was going back like that, Bhima followed him. Bhima also said that I'm not going to stay here because looks like this that Krishna has already left the planet. What is the point in staying here? So Bhima followed him, Arjuna followed him, Nakula followed him, Sahadeva also followed him. And Kunti Devi and Draupadi was left behind. So at that point, there is a saying in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Draupadi Devi is saying, Draupadi is saying, sir, what is the point in asking them now to do anything for me? After all, only some time ago, in the palace, when Dushasana started disrobing me, they all sat there like great men, talking about their position. Nobody did anything to me. There was only one person who came to help. Let me ask the same person for help now also. This is Draupadi. So Draupadi's mind was such that in all circumstances, Krishna was the shelter. And in the same way you find here that Draupadi prayed to Krishna. Krishna came and fulfilled her desire. The result was that Durvasa Muni did not even come back. Why? When they came out of the river, they felt as though they were fed fully with a sumptuous feast. This is what has happened to Durvasa Muni. That to show that the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every living entity and how the living entities are controlled by Krishna, this is what it is showing. That Durvasa Muni did not want to even come back and to see Yudhishthira Maharaj. He traveled with his disciples away from there. This is the incident what happened when Durvasa Muni was in Dwaraka with Krishna. So when you can see from all these things that wherever Krishna is there, Durvasa Muni is also there. So we should think a little bit twice that when we are talking about Ambarish's story, that Krishna is here, Gokulananda is here also. Where is the guarantee that Durvasa Muni is not there? He is also around somewhere. We do not know where he is. But when Krishna is present, the normal situation is always Durvasa Muni is also present there. So it is likely that we shouldn't say anything. If he comes here and start hearing that all of us sitting together and criticizing him heavily, maybe that will be the end of the story. So this is why it is mentioned there that although in Ambarish relationship that Durvasa Muni has performed something to please Krishna and Ambarish, at the same time it may look something very very offensive, but to Durvasa Muni we should not feel that offense in our heart, for this reason only, that Krishna's relationship with Durvasa Muni is different. Our relationship with Durvasa Muni has to take into account of that as well. So this is how that two chapters goes into of the Krishna's relationship with Durvasa Muni, Ambarish Maharaj's story, and this finishes in two chapters. And that is the fourth and fifth chapter. And then it goes on to the sixth chapter when the continuation of the solar dynasty goes on. Where there comes the story of Saubhari, another king, another sage who has also involved in an incident with the solar dynasty. And then story of Harishchandra and Sagara. All those comes later. Different. Actually, in the whole of ninth canto, there is not much of you can see a rush there, where Parikshit Maharaj was questioning, and only the essential things what Sri Shukan wanted to say has been mentioned in the ninth canto. Particularly the Ambarish Maharaj story, in two chapters he finished it, so that in a very, very short way, he wanted to convey the message to Parikshit, and Parikshit was absolutely thrilled when he heard about this devotion of the Ambarish. Because as a king, Parikshit also wanted to be like Ambarish. Why? Because all these kings have one good quality in them. That is why they are called as Rajarshis. Rajarshis means kings in the saintly dress, in the saintly form. Saintly kings, not modern saintly presidents and saintly prime ministers. They are the saintly kings. Therefore, they are called Rajarshis. So these Rajarshis have one responsibility they felt very strongly, and that is to fulfill the desire of Krishna. And Parikshit Maharaj, exactly like Yudhishthira Maharaj and Ambarish, also felt the same thing. And that is why he wanted to hear about Ambarish. So, it's 7:10 now. And we will read just one chapter. And then some questions or anything. Just a minute. It's the third chapter, yes. Shri Shuka Uvacham.
ശര്യാതിർമാനവോ രാജാം ബ്രഹ്മിഷ്ടാ സബഭൂവഹ യോ വാ അംഗിരസം സത്രേ ദ്വിതീയം അഹമോജിവാൻ. സുകന്യാമമദസ്യാസിൽ കന്യാകമലലോചന തയാ സാർദ്ധം വനഗതോ അകമച്ഛവനാശ്രമം സാ സഖീ വിപരിവൃത വിചിന്വത്തങ്ക്രിവാൻ വനേ വൽമീകരന്ധ്രേ ദദൃശേ ഗദ്ധ്യോദേം ഇവ ജ്യോതിഷീ തദ്ദൈവ ചോദിതാ ബാല ജ്യോതിഷീ കണ്ടകേന വൈ അവിദ്യം മുഗ്ധഭാവേന ശുശ്രാവാ സുപ്തതോ ബഹൂം ശകന്മൂത്രനിരോധാവുൽ സൈനികാനാം ച തൽക്ഷണാൽ രാജർഷാസ്തമുപാലക്ഷ്യ പുരുഷാൻ വിസ്മിതോ ബ്രവീൽ. അപ്യഭദ്രം യുഷ്മാഭിർ ഭാർഗവസ്യ വിചേഷ്ഠിതം വ്യക്തം കേനാപി നാസ്തസ്യ കൃതമാശ്രമദൂഷണം സുകന്യാപ്രാഹപിതരം ഭീതാ കിഞ്ചിൽ കൃതം മയ ദ്വേ ജ്യോതിഷീമജാനന്ദ്യ നിർഭിന്നേ കണ്ടകേന വൈ. ദുഃഖസ്ത്വദ്വദജ്ജശ്രുത്വ ശര്യാതിർജാതസാധ്വസ മുനിം പ്രസാദയാമാസ വൽമീക അന്തർഹിതം ശനൈഃ. തദവിപ്രായമാജ്ഞായ പ്രാദാദ്വിതരം മുനി കൃഷാൻമുക്തസ്തമാമന്ത്ര്യ പുരം പ്രായാൽ സ്വബാഹിതാഃ. സുകന്യാച്യവനം പ്രാപ്യ പതിം പരമകോപനം പ്രണയാമാസ ചിത്തജ്ഞ അപ്രമത്താനുമൃത്തിഭീം. കസ്യചിൽ തുതകാലസ്യ നാസത്യാവാശ്രമാഗതൗ തൗ പൂജയിത്വാ പ്രോവാച വയോമേ ദത്തമീശ്വരോ ഗ്രഹം ഗ്രഹീഷ്യേ സോസ്യ യജ്ഞേ ദ്വാമപ്യ സോമഭോഃ ക്രിയതാമേ വയോ രൂപം പ്രമദാനാം യദീപ്സിതം. ഭാടമിത്യുജ ദുർവിപ്രം അഭിമന്ദ്യമിഷക്തമോ നിമജ്ജതം ഭവാനസ്മിൻ ഹൃദയ സിദ്ധ വിനിർമിതേ. ഇത്യുക്തോ ജനയാഗ്രസ്ത ദേഹോ ധമനി സന്ധത ഹൃദം പ്രവേശിതോ ശുഭ്യം വലീപ വലിത വിപ്രിയാഹ. പുരുഷാശ്രയമുത്ത സൂര്യബീച്ച വനിതാ പ്രിയാഹ പത്മസ്രജ കുണ്ടലിന തുല്യരൂപാസ്തുവാസസാഹ. താൻ നിരീക്ഷവരാരാഹോ സ്വരൂപാൻ സൂര്യവർച്ചസ അജാനദീപതീം സാധ്വീം അശ്വിനോ ശരണം യയോ. ദർശയിത്വാ പതിം തസ്യൈ പാതിവ്രത്യേന തോഷിതം ഋഷിമാമന്ത്രേ ദുർവിമാനേന ത്രിവിഷ്ടവം യക്ഷമാണോ ദശര്യാദി ചവനാസ്യാശ്രമം ഗത ദദർശ ദുഹിതോ പാർശ്വേ പുരുഷം സൂര്യവർച്ചസം. രാജാദുഹിതനം പ്രാഹ കൃതപാദാഭിവന്ദനം അശിഷശ്ചാപ്രയുഞ്ജാനോ നാദേ പ്രീതിമനായിവാം. ചികീർഷതം ദേഹിമിതം വതിസ്വയ പ്രലംബിതോ ലോക നമസ്കൃതോ മുനി യൽത്വം ചിരാഗ്രസ്തമസത്യസംമതം വിഹായ ജാരം ഭജസേ മമധ്വഗം. കഥം മതിസ്തേവ ഗതാന്യതാ സദാം കുലപ്രസൂതി കുലദൂഷണം ത്വിതം വിമർഷിജാരം യഥവത്ര വാകുലം വിമർഷിജാരം യഥവത്ര വാകുലം വിദുശ്ച ഭർത്തുശ്ച നയസ്യ നയസ്ഥ്യതസ്തമാഃ. ഏവം ബ്രുവാണം വിതരം സ്മയമാനോ ശുചിസ്മിത ഉവാചദാദജ്ജാമാത തവൈഷ കൃഗനന്ദന ശശംസവിത്രേ തൽസർവം വയോ രൂപാവിലംബനം വിസ്മിത പരമപ്രീതാസ്തനയാം പരിഷസ്വജേ. സോമേനയാജയൻ വീരം ഗ്രഹം സോമസ്യ ജാഗ്രഹിൽ അസോമവോരപ്യശ്വിനോശ്ചവന സ്വേന തേജസാ ഹന്തും നമാതദേവജ്രം സദ്യോ മന്യുരമർഷിതം സ വജ്രം സ്തംഭയാമാസ ഭുജമിന്ദ്രസ്യ ഭാർഗവാം. അന്വജാനം സദസർവേ ഗ്രഹം സോമസ്യ ജാശ്വിനോ വിഷജാവിധിയൽ പൂർവം സോമാഹുത്യാ ബഹിഷ്കൃതവും ഉത്ഥാനമർഹിമാനർത്ഥോ ഭൂരിഷേണമിതി ത്രയ ശര്യാധീരഭവൽ പുത്ര അനർത്ഥാദ്രേവതോ ഭവൽ സ്വന്തസമുദ്രേ നഗരീം വിനിർമയ കുശസ്ഥലീം ആസ്തിതോമുക്ത വിഷയാൻ അനർത്ഥാദീനരിന്ദമാം. തസ്യ പുത്രശതം ജങ്ങേ കുകുദ്മി ജ്യേഷ്ഠമുത്തമം കുകുദ്മി രേവതീം കന്യാം സ്വമാദായ വിഭം ഗതാഃ. കന്യാവരം പരിപ്രശ്നം ബ്രഹ്മലോകമപാവൃതം ആവർത്തമാനേ ഗാന്ധർവേ സ്ഥിതോദ്ധലക്ഷണക്ഷണം. താ തദന്തമാദ്യമാനം സ്വാഭിപ്രായം ന്യവേദയൽ തശ്രുത്വാ ഭഗവാൻ ബ്രഹ്മ പ്രഹസ്യാതമുവാചഃ. അഹോരാജൻ നിരുദ്ധാസ്തേ കാലേന ഹൃദയേ കൃതാഃ തൽപുത്ര പൗരൂനപ്തൃണാം ഗോത്രാണി ജനശൃണ്മഹേ. കാലോപിയാതസ്ത്രിനവ ചതുർയുഗവികൽപിതാഃ തൽഗച്ഛ ദേവദേവാംശോ ബലദേവോ മഹാബലാം. കന്യാരത്നമിതം രാജൻ മരരത്നായ ദേഹി ഭോ ഭൂ ഭാരാവതാരായ ഭഗവാൻ ഭൂതഭാവനാം അവതീർണോ നിജാംശേന പുണ്യശ്രവണ കീർത്തന ഇത്യാഭിഷ്ടോഭിമന്യാജം ധ്രുവാസുവരമാഗതാഹ തെക്തം പുണ്യജനത്രാസാൽ ഭ്രാതിപരദിക്ഷവ സ്ഥിതൈഹി സുതാം ദത്വാനവദ്യാംഗിം ബലായ ബലശാലിനേ ബദര്യാഖ്യം ഗതോ രാജ തപ്തും നാരായണാശ്രമം ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം നവമസ്കന്ദേ തൃതീയോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ വി വിൽ കണ്ടിന്യൂ ഫ്രം ദി ഭാഗവതം നെക്സ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ ആൻഡ് ഇഫ് ദേർ ഈസ് എനി ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻസ് പ്ലീസ്. യാ യെസ് യെസ് yes so how is that yes impersonalism yeah Srinivas Prabhu is saying that how is that Durvasa Muni who is a impersonalist sage and Krishna who is a person has a relationship like that is that what you said yes yes what does Bhagavad Gita say Bhagavad Gita says that in the Srimad Bhagavatam also impersonalism also is coming from Krishna it's not nothing exists outside Krishna that is what you have to remember personalism or impersonalism all coming from Krishna isn't it brahmanohi pratishtaham Krishna says brahman is I am the seat of brahman and in the Bhagavatam what does Krishna says brahmeedi paramaatmeedi bhagavan rishabhyade The impersonal Brahman is also me. It's another aspect of me. Isn't it? It's another aspect of Krishna. So, sometimes in spiritual life, everybody may not become a devotee. It is not possible. That depends on the person's mental proclivities. For example, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita also, if you read, you will see there is three processes. Jnanam, Karmam and Bhakti. Now, depending on the qualification, one will take to a process. That is the way it is. Now, who will take to which process? That also Krishna explains in the Bhagavatam. What does Krishna say? Krishna says there that some people, the general category of people, all of them have different level of renunciation. Some people are very detached, very renounced, because their spiritual understanding has grown so strongly that they become completely detached to this world. In other words, renunciation has grown so strongly. And there are opposite side, others, who cannot give up anything. They want everything in this world. We call them as karmis, isn't it? Karmis are like that. People who have got very strong material attachment, they are referred to as karmis. And jnanis are those who have come to this realization, this material world is totally worthless. Thinking about it. So this is a jnani's position. Jnani's position is like this, that they have completely given up any consideration for this world. And karmis are on the exactly the opposite way. Now, devotee's position is in between. On the one hand, he knows that he is not able to give up everything. On the one hand, he is thinking that, what is this life? I keep on working like this, maintaining family, this life, that life, everything. And all the time he is thinking also, I wish I could do something more spiritually. This thought is coming to him, isn't it? So, majority of the people, you can say, 99.9% of people in this world belong to this category, or the devotees category. That is why Bhakti Yoga is the most popular one, and it's also the most practical one.
Because to come to the three different process of spiritual life, you require three different qualifications. What I mentioned to you before. Krishna says like this in the Shrimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's words are like this.
Yadrchayamalkadhasu jada shraddho vimappuman na nirvinno nadisakto paktiyogostu siddhidaha.
That yadrchaya, by accident, a lot of people are wandering around in this world doing this or that. But somehow or the other, if somebody comes to hear about me, Krishna says, yadrchaya malkadhasu, if he comes to hear about me from Shrimad Bhagavatam or from a devotee, somehow or the other, jada shraddho vimappuman, and he become interested in me, because everybody don't get interested in Krishna, but many people do get interested in Krishna. He says, when they get interested, then what happens? Na nirvinno na disatto bhakti yogostu siddhidaha. That person will be qualified, because na nirvinno, he is not fully given up material world. He has still attachment here. Na disatto, that he has not he is not fully given up. He has also got attachment in this world. If he is in that position, Krishna says, bhakti yogostu siddhidaha. For him, bhakti yoga will work. That is the one that will take him higher. Now, unfortunately, all these sages who went to the forest and performed penances and austerities, they have no attachment to this world. Their mind has become so dry. And for them, the only thing left is, for them it is difficult for them to come to a devotee's mind. Devotee's mind doesn't fit in with them. Their mind has gone so far away from this world. They are so determined in that renunciation is not a problem for them. That is why they left the world and went to the forest. And after going to the forest even, what do? They are performing such severe penances. What does it show? It shows that attachment has come, vairagyam has come, or renunciation has come, to the total renunciation has happened to them. In other words, when it is total renunciation has happened like that, their mind is not suitable for bhakti yoga. It's not possible for them. For their purpose, Krishna has given this process of jnana yoga. It is for them. Similarly, those who are difficult to give up everything. There are people like that in this world. They cannot give up anything. Even if you tell them what about home life? They need prasadam on time. They need everything, best clothes, all the facilities in this world. If you tell them about spiritual life, they'll say, we'll give you some money, just leave me alone. That's all they can do for you. That's how much interest they have in spiritual life. So such people, they also need something to go back, isn't it? So Krishna doesn't want to exclude anybody. The Vedic system, the beauty of Vedic philosophy is such that everyone is accommodated. Depending, it's not that one piece of philosophy for everyone. Depending on the mind of the people, people have got different paths to follow as well. So those who are attached to their results, because people work in this world with the desire of getting the results. Nobody wants to do any free service, is it? So that's what you can see. That those who are inclined in that way, Krishna says, Karma Yogam is for you. Follow the process of Karma Yogam. Perform activities in such a way, offer your results to me. In due course, you will get purified. So Karma, Jnanam and Bhakti, the three processes in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is directing towards three different people. But majority of the people, majority means 99% of the people, will fall into this category of Bhakti Yogam. That is why Prabhupada was always saying, pushing this bhakti process so strongly. Otherwise it is not that Jnana Yogam and Karma Yogam is all bogus or it has no meaning. It is also, otherwise Krishna would not have spent about 12 chapters in the Bhagavad Gita describing this. It has its own place in human life. But ordinary people who do not have that intellectual sharpness like of a Jnani or the great yogis they have, or those who are not so attached to material life like the karmis are, for them the process of bhakti yoga alone is recommended. And that is why it comes like that. Krishna has not excluded anybody. Although Dhruvasa Muni Maharshi will look like an impersonalist, he knew, he was in knowledge, full knowledge, that this personality Krishna is the supreme personality, he knows. But he is an impersonalist by his tradition. He followed that because of what can you do? Because to become a devotee also it's not easy. You require a certain frame of mind for that. Some people you can see, They have performed devotional service for 30 years, 40 years, and then they feel that, oh, I didn't get what is, I'm not sure whether it's all good or not. They come to this conclusion. This happened to people. This has happened. Why is it happening? Because they haven't got that taste yet, for that relationship with Krishna is not building up. That's why it's happening, due to some reason or the other. So you can't exclude anything. Everybody is there, is their own position in the Bhagavatam also. So this relationship between Dvasa Muni and Krishna is like that. But Dvasa Muni at the same time knew who is Krishna. Knew very well who he is. That is why he kept going with him everywhere. Whether it is in Indraprastham, whether it is in Vrindavanam, whether it is in Dwaranga, he's always there with him and never leaves him. For us as devotees, our position is that we can't find fault with any of these great personalities. They are all very, very dear to Krishna. That I do not know, what their understanding. You can't classify everybody into that. When we say this, we are talking about great personalities like Vasishtha, Vishwamitra. They are all great sages. All these sages have a relationship with Krishna. Because ultimately, they all follow the Vedic tradition. They are within the framework of Vedas, Vedic literature. And Krishna will not refuse anybody. He may not be a devotee, but as long as he is following the path of Vedic literature, he is properly situated. You can't reject that position of the sages. So from Krishna's point of view, although they are not devotees, sometimes Krishna will give them a lesson like this, what he did with Ambarish or what he did with Panjali, Draupadi, things like that. But apart from that, they also know that sometimes Krishna does these things to them. But Krishna is also respectful to them all the time. Why? Because they follow the Vedic tradition. That is the reason behind it. That nobody else respects Vedas more than Krishna. We must always remember that. That Vedic literature, the whole Vedas and the Vedic knowledge, Krishna considers as his own breathing. He would not exclude anything from that. That's his position. Yes. Dvasa Muni realized that the devotee's position is like this. But as we mentioned before, that Dvasa Muni was doing this to get Ambarish glorified all over the world. That was the goal of that. It was not that Dvasa Muni did not know about Ambarish. But he wanted to do it in such a way that this story wanted to go all over the world, universe. And he knew later that this will come in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And devotees will understand the position of a devotee. Bhagavatam speaks about Ambarish Maharaj's glory, not about Durvasa's glory. Why? Because Bhagavatam is a book which refers to the devotional path. That is why it's glorified there. But Durvasa Muni, whether we want him to change or not, his relationship with Krishna is perfect. We have no relationship. What relationship do we have? But Krishna, Durvasa Muni and Krishna, they go side by side everywhere. Wherever Krishna is there, Dvasa Muni is also there. That is how we have to understand.
Even he had access to go to Vaikuntha when
child. Yes. Dvasa Muni, yes. Dvasa Muni had, you see, Dvasa Muni could go to Vaikuntha. That itself shows that he was a personality whom Krishna has accepted totally.
Talking about Dvasa Muni's anger, it seems to me that on the surface of it that he's using it in a destructive way, but it seems to me deeper down that Krishna is actually utilizing that anger for his need.
Yes, in some instances, yes. In many of the pastimes you can see the same thing, that Dvasa Muni was doing it, and the result was that we have got this chaining the milk ocean story coming from there. Now we have got the Ambarish story. In so many instances, Dvasa Muni is doing actually a favor to Krishna. So it will be very difficult for us to understand what is Dvasa Muni's relationship with Krishna. That we will not know. What is Srinarada Muni's relationship with Krishna? We don't know. Because some instances in the Bhagavatam you will see, in one instance, Krishna has put Narada Muni also into difficulty. Narada Muni is not like Dvasa Muni. But Krishna has put him also into little difficulty. You'll see that in the 10th canto later. So, but these great personalities, they have a relationship with Krishna, which for in our mind, it is difficult to conceive that, what that relationship is. But they know each other well, what is good for them. And we have to respect both of them, both Krishna as the Supreme Lord and the sages as his close associates. Well, in the Puranas, all the stories are mentioned just to show that the different modes will work. Even when, whether it is Lord Shiva's incarnation or Vishnu's incarnation or Brahma's incarnation. The modes of nature, once they take body in this world, it will work. It will have its effect. Now, Durvasa Muni obviously is Amshavataram of Lord Shiva. Is an Amshavataram of Lord Shiva. And Dattatreya Maharshi, whom we read in the later on, was incarnation of Vishnu. Now, all these great sages, they display certain things in this world during their time. And the intention is to give us some education in spiritual life. Because for us, there is no really any spiritual realizations in us. That whereas the sages, due to their effort, they have attained a certain level of realization in spiritual life. So that spiritual realizations, they are sharing with us through their pastimes. So when we try to understand Durvasa Muni, we have to see the both good side and the bad side. We may think that, oh, he's getting angry all the time. But on the other hand, because he got angry, we got the story of the churning the milk ocean as well as now Ambarish Maharaj's story. Otherwise, what do we know about all these things? So this is why it's called pastimes, isn't it? Leela. Leela is called because of this. That we don't know how Krishna's plans work, but it does work.
when people when they meditate on the effulgence of God, i.e. Brahman,
yeah.
I, as I understand it, I would call that impersonalism. Yeah, and they want to actually become one with Brahman. How's that impersonalism different to what this impersonalism we're talking about now? It seems totally different to this. Merging with Brahman. So is that also
impersonalism is a very big subject. It is difficult to talk about it because majority of people are impersonalists in this world, as you know probably that impersonalism is endless. It is such an impersonalist. It's not easy to develop personalism. It's very easy to become impersonalist. Yeah. So majority of people go into that category, and their relationship is such that they, depending on the philosophy they follow from the Vedas, Vedam has got everything, Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Shraddhadvaitam, Kevaladvaitam, Dvaitam, all this exists in the Vedas. Now philosophically speaking, the followers of Advaitam, they are impersonalists. Advaitis are impersonalists. And because they are impersonalists, their process is also different than us. We have, for example, we worship the deity. We want to become a servant of Krishna. We want to serve Krishna. We want to offer everything nice to Krishna. We want to please Krishna. We want to chant the holy name. We want to relish Krishna's pastime. So in other words, for us, what's important is the person Krishna. Isn't it? For the impersonalists, for them, whom should I worship? Because me and him are the same. This is how it begins from. Yeah. Yeah. Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman. I am not different from him. Whereas for us, we are always different. He is the master. We are the servant. This is our relationship. So these two difference, what it starts in the beginning, it grows bigger and bigger later on. When Aham Brahmasmi gets stronger and stronger, then that person is thinking that there is only one thing exists in everything, which is spirit soul. Nothing else. He is not saying your soul is my soul and his soul is different. All soul is only one. And that is the Supreme Brahman. He says Brahman is present in every living entity.
for the devotee, we don't think like that. We are separate from Krishna and we are Krishna's servants. That's the devotee's position. And for a devotee, it is very painful to think that I am Krishna. It's very disheartening and very disturbing to the mind. Therefore, we criticize impersonalists heavily. We don't want to hear that. That is, you can keep that yourself and carry on with it. We don't want to continue in that process. But for a devotee, what is pleasing is that my service to Krishna is Krishna recognizing it. Krishna is recognizing it. That is what we want from Krishna. Krishna should recognize our service. Krishna should accept our little service, what we are doing. So, there is a difference. For example, suppose a devotee is making a garland for Krishna. Every day, the devotee is making the garland. And after garland is made, she offers it to Krishna. And Krishna has no particular desire for anything. Krishna is always indifferent to everything. He watches everything, what goes on. So the devotee is thinking in his mind, let what I am doing please Krishna. He wants to please Krishna, that's why he's doing it, isn't it? So he does it for years, months and months and years, for example. After a long, long time, one day something happened to that person. He couldn't do it. Something happened in life, isn't it? Because life doesn't work the way we want it to work, isn't it? So sometimes things get disturbed. Something happens, so he could not make his garland that day. Or she could not make it garland. So, one day she missed making the garland for Krishna. At that time, Krishna is thinking, why the garland hasn't come today? Do you understand? At that point only, Krishna is thinking, why did the garland not come today? Every day she has brought it. I've not said anything, but today why? Why there is no garland? When this thought comes to Krishna about the devotee, and the devotee is thinking in his heart or her heart that I could not offer my garland today to Krishna. When these two things are developing same time in their heart, then that is the perfection of that devotee's spiritual life. Because in other words, Krishna has recognized that I cannot live without that garland. Krishna is thinking now like this. Krishna is feeling and he's getting disturbed about it. And he's asking the head pujari, why the garland hasn't come today? Where is that devotee? Get him here. Krishna's nature is like that. You go to Krishna, you will notice this in the temple also, you can see. You stay there in front of Krishna and look at Krishna. Regularly if you are coming and look at Krishna, he will act as though he has never seen you for the whole lifetime. That is how he is. Krishna's nature is like that. He will act like that. But if somebody, new person comes one day, first time to the temple, Krishna will look at him and smile at him. He'll recognize and accept his offerings that day. So the devotee is thinking, why is it like this? That I've been coming here all along and I've been trying to please Krishna and not a sign of any recognition, nothing, absolutely nothing. But then one day, one special day, say like Janmashtami day or Govardhana Puja day, if the devotee hasn't turned up, Krishna will start thinking, why hasn't he not come? That thought will come to Krishna. Because he has been coming here regularly, why he hasn't come today? That will come to Krishna's mind. All these things what I am saying is not built up stories or anything. These are facts in devotees, different devotees who have experienced this and who have spoken about it. And real, not ordinary devotees like us, devotees who are in that category. They have spoken about it. And they told Vilumangalam, Manjula, they are all personalities who have gone through these stages of life. Krishna told Vilumangalam one day, when he didn't see him in the temple, Swamiji, I've been waiting for you whole day. Where have you been? He asked him. Because he thought, Vilumangalam thought, Ekadashi day in the temple is so busy, packed with people, not an inch of space. And sannyasis thought, if I go in there, unnecessarily I will be inviting offenses from the people. Because many people do not know how to deal with sannyasis, how to show offer respect to them and act in a way offensive. So rather than doing that, I'll stay out, he thought. So that day Krishna caught him and asked him, why did you not come today?
This was his question to Vilumangalam. So you can see from this that a devotee only have a relationship with Krishna, isn't it? That Krishna one day recognize your service, one day he will recognize that service. And one day when you are so fortunate, Krishna will talk to you as a servant and the master. And there is a rasam or mellow in that. Brahman realization won't give you that mellow. That mellow what you experience in your personal relationship with Krishna is far, far superior to this Brahman realization. Bhajanānandam is far superior to Brahmanandam. That is how they say. That is why the path of devotional service, path of Krishna consciousness, is such a sweet and beautiful process as long as one do not lose faith and continue practicing it. One day it will bring its results, because recorded history is proving that. Mahaprabhu has shown us also the same thing in different pastimes. You can study any book you want. There is nothing, nobody stopping you from doing that. Study anything. Have as much realization as you want. But ultimately, if you have not taken Krishna's lotus feet as your shelter, then there is a possibility that your so-called Brahmanandam and everything will go one day. And you could be in serious trouble in spiritually. That is why it is repeatedly said that service to Krishna, becoming a devotee of Krishna, is a thing which very, very rare and difficult to achieve, to become a good devotee of Krishna. It takes so much effort and energy that, because unless and until Krishna recognizes you that you are my devotee, you can't say anything. Others will tell you, oh, such a great devotee you are, such a great personality you have. That is no meaning. It doesn't mean anything. Unless and until Krishna recognizes that your devotion, that is the perfection of the devotion. What did Krishna say to Uddhava? Naham tavangrikamalam kshanardham abhigeshava tektum samulsahe nadha sodhavanayamavim. Uddhava said to Krishna, Naham tavangrikamalam. Uddhava was not lacking in knowledge anything. He was Brihaspati's son. Brihaspati is the spiritual master of the demigods. It is his son who is saying this. Naham tavangrikamalam kshanardham abhigeshava. Even for a second to be separated from you. Tektum samulsahe natha. Even that very thought is disturbing me. Sodhavanayamavi. Because I have tasted your service, I know what it is. Please take me with you back to the spiritual world. This is how he prayed to. Gopis are praying the same thing. Uddhava is praying the same thing. Kundidevi is praying the same thing. All the devotees are praying like that to Krishna for this reason. Yes. Yes, yes.
I was just wondering, also, when devotees reveal their minds to each other, also brings some relief. So what is that relief? Is it coming from Krishna? Is it Krishna's pleasure?
Sometimes this revealing mind causes problems. If you revealing mind is all. You see, the thing is that when Rupa Goswami wrote Upadesha Amritam, where it is mentioned about revealing the mind, when Rupa Goswami said about revealing the mind, he was referring to a society where the people were such spiritually cultured in that way. The consciousness was such that they could reveal each other. But in the modern world, if you reveal, you could end up in problems. So you have to be careful when you reveal your mind also. That revealing the mind means sometimes in difficulties you have to take to the association of devotees. Provided you have such association with devotees whom you could reveal your mind. That also you have to be careful. Now revealing mind is this. That when you commit offenses to great people, great personalities particularly, unknowingly or knowingly, if you feel you have committed something, the process is that you should chant the holy name and loudly say to Krishna that I have committed this offense. Please forgive me for my offense. That's what that is. Now, as far as the paying obeisances is concerned, that If you pay your obeisances to anybody, for that matter, it doesn't matter who it is. Once you pay your obeisances, if the other person is a human being, there will be a little bit feeling in the heart. To feel that, oh, even if he has been offensive to me, at least he has got some respect for me. He's not totally, ignored me like that. There is some human feelings there, isn't it? So by paying obeisances, you actually remove that uneasiness, what you have built up with the other person. So somebody has to take the initiative in doing that, and that will help to wipe off that ill feeling, whatever that has built up in this life. And it was a practice always to pay obeisances each other. Devotees paid obeisances. But I don't know why, now that we are all getting old, we think 10 times before we bow down. And we need chairs and sticks now to walk around. So that habit has slowly gone away from the devotees. When you pay obeisances to somebody, you should not think that I am paying obeisances to that person. Rather, on the other hand, you are paying obeisances to Krishna, who is present in that particular personality. And all the great personalities, you find Krishna is present there in their body. And that we are offering our respects to Krishna that way. But sometimes, similarly, the person who is, when you pay obeisances, the person also should think that he is not now he's paying obeisances to me. I should be somebody big in this world. That's not what is expected from this person. He is expected to think that person has recognized Krishna's presence in me, so I should accept it in the way and offer his obeisances to him. That way it eases the situation a lot. Otherwise, in the material world, we are all ready to kill each other, ready with the sword in the hand. So that's our position in this world. So when gopis were instructed by Krishna, only because of one reason, that Durvasa Muni's nature was such that if you pay obeisances, Durvasa Muni will cool down and won't get upset with you easily. So that was the intention behind it. If that person is pleased with your behavior or with the way you have acted, and that person doesn't think anything ill of it, of your offense, then it won't disturb you. It won't affect you anymore. That's why it's necessary to not to upset any living being in this world, or to talk about devotees. You shouldn't upset anybody. That's the way to carry on in this world. Because every living entity, Krishna is present there. And you upset somebody, then it will come back in another form to you. There's no doubt about that. That's why as much as possible, see, there are two things. One, sometimes knowingly you do things. Many times you do unknowingly also. You not know that what you are doing is the wrong thing. And you can always see that. People are doing in ignorance. For that moment, particular moment in time, he's thinking that I am doing the right thing. But because he does not know what is the right thing, he's doing it. He's thinking he's doing the right thing. He's thinking the job has to be done. So I should kick out everybody. I will do it. This is coming from that. He doesn't know that there is something else to be followed in that process. So if you become getting the job done, then a lot of problems will come up in spiritual life also. So there is some amount of understanding necessary, what is right and what's wrong, and how to act properly in all these situations. So slowly we realize it, we think, learn about it from others. And when we learn, we should implement that in our life. So unknowingly also offenses can happen. And these offenses will get wiped out if we pay your obeisances to whom, if you feel that you have committed an offense.
The other question was, when Krishna established the yoga system,
yeah.
Karma yoga, yeah. Jnana yoga, Bhakti yoga, and he never said there's a difference between at the highest level. But
religious statement of Dharmasa Muni or Dharmasa Muni to Krishna.
Mm.
He said Bhakti Yoga is the
highest. Yes, he said, as far as a devotee is concerned, I am not willing to tolerate anything, he said. He wanted to glorify the devotee. Ambarish Maharaj was such a devotee that Krishna says like this to Durvasa Muni. One day, this Ambarish Maharaj came up to me and said, I am offering everything to you, including me. Now, Ambarish Maharaj is not an ordinary person. He is an emperor. He has got big control of land and property and everything. And a lot of power behind him, including himself, family, wealth, everything what he has got. He says to Krishna, I am offering to you. And then he says, I am offering myself to you. And Krishna said to Durvasa Muni, when he offered like that, I could not refuse. I had to accept it. Because it's a devotee's offering like this, what can I do? So when you offer some, receive something, it's not proper that you take everything and say, okay, bye-bye, that's it. No, that's not Krishna. Krishna is not like that. Krishna is, you take it, he will give you 10 times more back to you. So he said to Ambarish, all right, you have given me everything. In return, take all this, Vaikuntham and including me. You can have it, he said. Krishna is also like that, magnanimous, more magnanimous than the person who gives the charity. So that's why, because I have given all this to Ambarish, now I have to listen to him, because I have given him Vaikuntha, I have given him myself to him. I am his servant actually, Krishna says to Durvasa Muni. And you are now coming me to tell me that I should fight with Ambarish Maharaj about you. No, that question doesn't arise. In other words, the story is only trying to tell us that Bhakti Yoga is such a process. Even Krishna says in the Bhagavadam, at one point, he says that Jnani, Karmi and Bhakta, three people, I take them in the spiritual life. But the difference is this. Suppose a father has three children, say for example in this case. The eldest one, Krishna says, he is Jnani. He tells him, you keep walking in the front. The second one, Karmi, he said, you follow him. You will also get there. But the devotee, Krishna says, I carry him in my hand. That's the difference. You understand what I mean? That devotee for Krishna is so personal. That devotee has nothing else. He has offered everything to Krishna. I don't have anything else. I am completely broke, he says to Krishna. So Krishna says, if it's like that, then I am there for you. Why you worry? That is Krishna's attitude. So Krishna says, devotee, I carry in my hand. This is Krishna's attitude towards the devotee. Whereas Jnani, as far as Krishna is concerned, he has studied all the books and he is getting realizations. Nobody has to do anything for him. He will go in his way. He'll carry on. He'll get there at the end. But for a devotee, Krishna says, I have to protect him all the time. Nobody can touch him. And that is the special mercy of Krishna to the devotee. And in the Bhagavadam, to illustrate this, there is a very detailed incident later, while speaking to Uddhava, he says there that, there is no need for, I follow the devotee, Krishna says. I follow the devotee to purify myself. Uddhava, anubrajamyaham nityam puyeyetyangrirenubhim. That I follow the devotee, Krishna says. Uddhava asked Krishna, you follow the devotees? Is it not the other way, devotee should follow you? Krishna said, no, it's not like that. Because let the dust from their feet purify me. This is Krishna. This is the humility of Krishna. Krishna's relationship with devotee is such, anubrajamyaham nityam uyeyetyangrirenubhim, that the dust from their feet, let that purify my body. Krishna says like this. So what more do you want? A recognition from Krishna for a devotee. So this is why Krishna consciousness is the most valuable process, spiritual life, and one can follow it nicely. One is guaranteed that there is a good result from coming from that. Okay. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.